Well, good morning and welcome, and thank you for welcoming me. It's good to be back. Vacation is great. It's awesome. I recommend it highly to those of you overworked people who need a break, but it's just always good to get back home. If you would like to, you can be opening your Bible to Psalm 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 in just a moment. So glad you've chosen to spend these few moments with us this morning, worshiping and praising God. Just a few words about the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. I know that most of us recognize 10 years ago the events of 9/11. It's just one of those moments that's going to be frozen in time, frozen in our minds forever. And nearly all Americans are going to have those images etched in their minds. You remember that day, don't you? You remember where you were and what you were doing? Maybe when you saw that footage for the first time of those airplanes flying into those buildings, how unreal that was. And then the horror, the shock when you find out that's very real. That's actually happening. It did happen. And we never want to forget that. We never want to forget those 3,000 or so people who lost their lives in that tragedy. We don't want to forget the people who were in the planes who lost their lives, the people who were in the buildings, the people who were on the ground, the brave firemen who went in there and tried to save people, and the policemen and the paramedics and the host of others. We need to remember these people. We need to never lose sight of what happened. And listen, we really need to be thankful. This should be a reminder to us of how fortunate we are and how blessed we are to be in a place and to live in a place and at a time where we can take a hit like that, absorb it, and keep going, and still just feel God's blessings raining down upon us daily as we speak 10 years later after that terrible event. So just a few words about that. And I encourage you at this time just to go ahead and open your Bibles, and we'll read Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19, starting in verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is a bridegroom. Coming out of his chamber, it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, every time I travel to an unfamiliar place, I've been to Florida several times, a place that's not as familiar to me as Kentucky, I always come back with a greater awareness of God and a greater appreciation for God. And this trip that Teresa and I took for Florida, it's no exception to that rule. And especially it has greater significance when you consider what that psalmist wrote there in Psalm 19, of how He depicted the sun bursting forth as a bridegroom out of his chamber, and as a strong man or as an athlete running a race in all its vigor and in its the prime of its life. You consider that Florida is the Sunshine State, and it just has that much more significance. I will say this about the Sunshine State, though: it did not live up to its billing that well this past week. I think it might be more appropriately described as a cloudy commonwealth, but be that as it may, it's still an amazing place to be. Teresa and I still saw some amazing sights, and I was still reminded of Psalm 19 and the wonders of God's creation that we sing about from our songbooks and that we read about in God's Word. And he said there in verse 1, the psalmist did, the great King David, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. The skies above, and according to what version of the Bible you use, that word is telling or declares. The skies above declare the glories and the majesty of our God. That word tell, or that word declare there, it can mean to record or to inscribe. So you think about the sun, the moon, the stars. They are God's handwriting in the sky. They are His inscription. They're His insignia. They are His autograph, if you will, His signature in the heavens, declaring to anyone who would open their eyes, hey, look, I'm here, I did this, this is me, this is the God of heaven who have given you these wonders that you're looking at. It's like the distinctive markings from an artist's hand indicating that his authorship is what is on a precious work of art. And just so, the visible cosmos signifies that the works of the supreme sculptor of the universe. That's what they are. He's the one who did this. The divine designer, the greatest artist in the universe. And we need to take that away from these great depictions, these great works of art that are the heavenly bodies that we observe with our eyes. And that word tell can also mean just that, to tell, to speak, to talk. And the heavens, what that tells me, they speak to us with unuttered words about the glory of our God. In a very real sense, the wonders of creation in the great vault of heaven, they are revelation from God Himself. They tell of Him. They tell of His existence, the certainty of that. They tell of His power. They tell of His knowledge and wisdom. And they tell us of His magnificence. And we read about that in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, where it says, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." You think about all of the evidence that exists in the world, that there is a God. God has written us a love story in the sky by His own powerful hand. And if you could truly watch a sunset in Florida over the ocean and watch that sun sink down as if it were plummeting into the depths of the deep, if you can honestly watch the changing of the heavenly hues from those powder blues, those sky blue hues, to those deeper, darker sapphire and purple shades, and if you can watch the sunlight piercing the gauzy clouds and spraying heaven's canvas with the vivid pinks and reds and oranges that we see from a sunset such as this, and you can say within your heart of hearts, truly, that there is no God, you are completely without excuse, just like the author of Romans said. There is no excuse for that kind of willful disbelief if you can observe a sight like that and say in your heart there is no God. The words of Psalm 14 and verse 1 are never more true than in a situation like that when the psalmist wrote, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Because the heavens are telling, they are declaring, the skies are announcing, they're screaming to anyone who would care to listen, who would care to observe and to see and to watch, to open their ears, to open their eyes, that there is a God in heaven. And verse 1 also says that the expanse is declaring the work of His hands. And that word declare, the King James uses the word show. That's what that means. It means to stand out boldly. It means to display. When you think about that, God puts on a show for us every single day and every single night of our lives if we would just take the time to cast our eyes skyward. The clouds are like a parade of cottony floats just rolling across the sky eastward, just rolling to the beat of that silent drummer. And lightning is a pyrotechnic show that lights up the darkness with more explosive power than 1,000 thunders over Louisville. And the stars dazzle the eyes like 1,000 diamonds shimmering on a jeweler's cloth. And the moon sometimes just looks like a giant Chinese lantern just suspended in the heavens, hung on nothing. And these wonders are so amazing, but I just have to wonder if they have become so commonplace to us that we've just ceased to even notice them, that they don't capture our attention at all, infrequently or ever. And when was the last time that you just cast your eyes skyward and looked at, just observed, just soaked in the showcase that God has put on for you, has displayed for you in the heavens? Sometimes we just need to stop and look at what God has done for us and just to get a reminder of who He is and how much He loves us. That word declare can also mean to announce by word of mouth, as from a messenger. The heavens daily preach to us sermon after sermon with more eloquence than the most charismatic of any preacher to ever live on the face of this earth. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are God's preachers. The rainbow in the sky, the clouds that march overhead, they are God's ministers declaring His existence, His love, and His power. And then verse 2 says, that day after day or day to day pours forth speech and night to night reveals knowledge. Maybe that's why it is. Maybe that's why we've lost sight of it. Maybe that's why we miss it. Because we're exposed to it day after day and night after night. And maybe we've just grown so accustomed to His marvels that they just never register on our radar screens. But if you go to a foreign environment, if you go out of state, you go on a trip, you see some things that are out of the ordinary, things you're not used to, it can recapture your imagination. It can recapture your attention and focus your sights skyward and Godward. I know years ago, my friends and I used to love to go on hiking trips for 2 or 3 days at a time. And we'd get out in the woods someplace in Tennessee and where there are none of these city lights to drown out the beauties of the heavens above at nighttime. Those stars, you just can't see as many of them in the big city as you can out in the wilderness. And me and my friends, we just lay back on the grass and just gaze skyward, just being caught up in the moment, watching those heavenly bodies over our heads. And it appeared to be millions of jewels just sparkling in the sky. And we would just lay there and talk about how great God is. And it's just good to get away sometimes and be able to recharge and refocus and get our attention back on the things that are truly important. Now, verse 3 says that there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Now that sounds like a contradiction. It previously said, day and night pours forth speech. And now it says, there is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. It sounds like a contradiction, but obviously it is not. The New Living Translation says of verse 3, they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is silent in the skies. I think that could be what it means. It's better, but I don't think that's what it's trying to say there either. I think God is trying to tell us this. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. I think what the psalmist is telling us there. In other words, there's nowhere you can go in this whole wide world to escape the evidence, the beauties, the amazing wonders of God's creation, the evidence that He exists. It says in verse 4, as a matter of fact, after that, just to confirm that idea, their line or their sound has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. No place on earth is hidden from these heavenly wonders. God declares His glory in a universal language. There are no language barriers when it comes to these celestial sermons. Everyone can hear them. Everyone can understand them. Only the hardest of hearts are going to be the ones to miss these lessons. Whether it be the Aurora Borealis in Alaska, or the sunset in Hawaii, or a rainbow in South Africa, or a constellation in the outback, or whether it just be a sunrise in your own backyard, or just cloud cover, whatever it be, nature utters God's praises from one end of the earth to the other. There's nowhere you can go in this earth that you're going to be hidden from that if you just open your eyes and glance skyward. Verse 5 says, the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. It bursts forth like a strong man or an athlete. Now, Teresa, when we were on vacation, set her alarm, I believe, every morning, at least toward the end of our trip, for a sunrise picture. She tried to get up every morning and just get that perfect vista of that sun coming up. Unfortunately, the clouds weren't cooperating. I think she got one good picture of that Florida sunrise, but those clouds, they cast a curtain over that sun and just wouldn't give view to it. But it's just a marvelous thing. And you would think with the advances in technology that we have, that would be drawing us closer to God than farther away like it seems to do. It seems like the smarter we get and the more advanced we get, the dumber we get spiritually, and we can't open our eyes to see the plain, evident truth. But when we boarded that plane and we ascended 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 feet into the air, there that bridegroom sat in its tent. There was that marvelous ball of fire, that sun, that dazzling orb, like a strong man, like it says there in verse 5, running that race across the sky. And it was just a breathtaking sight to see that and to look out and to see those clouds beneath us like giant snowdrifts covering an open field. Just an amazing sight there in that airplane. It just should draw us closer to Him. Unfortunately, it doesn't do that for many people, but when you look down at that blanket of cloud and you look across at that sun, those sun rays bursting forth, And understand, there really is nothing hidden from its heat. You got to understand that. The clouds can cover it, it can dampen it, it can screen out the sun, but still, you know, the coolest days in Florida are in the mid-80s at this time of year. There's nothing hidden from its heat. You see those sun and those clouds, you have to understand that there is a God in heaven. If you don't, that's, something's not working right in your heart, in your brain, in your mind. And I'm not just talking about putting on a show. I'm not just talking about Him putting on this display and showing His power and manifesting His glory. I'm talking about Him showing His care for us, how much He loves us, His concern for us. That warmth of that sun, that's what it's doing. It's providing warmth for us. And the rain that comes from the clouds, they foster growth and health and life. All these wonders of creation, God is not just showing them to us to dazzle our eyes. He's showing them to us to show us how much He loves us. And He's taking care of every one of our needs. And we need to think about Him. We need to appreciate Him for that. Just for these mundane things as they have become quite often in our lives. Even with Tropical Storm Lee looming to the west and really casting the winds and the clouds upon us, it was still so plain to me that God is the creator of the universe. All of the creation declares His glory and power and His existence. To me, it's an amazing thing. I'm always captivated by the ocean. When I'm standing beside it and looking at that giant and I'm watching those waves toss and break and foam, and I look at that colossal giant, and you know, I just get the sense of how small I truly am. I understand how insignificant I really am. I understand in my heart of hearts that there is an intellect out there and a power that's vastly superior to mine. I just know it has to be the case. Even within that apparent chaos, those waves tossing and turning and ripping and foaming, there's still a rhythm to it. There's still a tempo to the heaving and the tossing of those waves. Even with that apparent chaos, when you look at the weather report, you see the radar screen, turn on the weather channel, and you see that tropical storm or that hurricane, and you know the devastation it can do. Yeah, you have an indication there of the fall, of the chaos that came from man deviating from God's plan. The tempter alluring that first man and woman to sin and enticing them out of paradise, the garden of paradise. You do get an indication of that, of the calamity that can befall, but you also see the order that exists in and in spite of the chaos. The predictability of the weather patterns declares that there is a God in heaven, that there is design in the universe that is unpredictable and as fickle as Mother Nature can be. The laws of nature, they still obey the patterns of Father God. Mother Nature's not in control. Father God is. He created all of nature after all. Those are His laws that they obey. He is the one who still makes the rules, and the wind and the waves, they still obey His voice. Psalm 104 verses 1 through 4 depict this very clearly. Psalm 104 verses 1 through 4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering Yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chamber in the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes the winds His messengers, flaming fire His ministers." All of nature is God's doing. All of nature obeys His commands, His designs, His rules. All of nature is a certain kind of pronouncement, a declaration, a revelation from our Creator that He is, that He exists, that He cares about us, that He loves us. And you know what? He wants our attention. Even on the much, much smaller scale, like when you look at an ultrasound and you see that little 11-ounce special delivery growing in her mama's womb, those arms and legs kind of fidgeting, that head turning from side to side, those little phalanges, those little fingers flexing, that heart pumping that life through those minuscule veins. Once again, modern technology, shouldn't it be drawing us closer to God? Shouldn't pictures like this just be all the evidence we need that there is a Creator in the universe, above the universe, greater than the universe? Never have the words of the psalmist been more true, more absolutely certain than when I look at a picture like that? Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. And look, it's not hidden from us now. We can actually look at that frame within that womb. We've got a God's eye view in a certain respect. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Now we can see that little frame being wonderfully formed and knit and woven and growing and thriving. God's skillful craftsmanship is in those most secret places. His works are wonderful. And as the psalmist says, my soul knows it very well. All of God's creation, every bit, not just the stars in the sky, not just the rainbow, not just the sun and the moon, all of His creation, the subatomic, the colossal, the inorganic, the living and breathing, or the soon to be breathing, they're revelation from God. Now, they are not specific revelation, they are general revelation. As impressive as these things are, they're just a reminder to us from God. They're just an attention getter. Like I said, He just wants to grab our attention. He wants to capture our imagination because He has something much more important to tell us, to show us. He has more specific things, special details. He has matters of life and death He wants us to read about. He wants to discuss with us in His Word. He points us with those marvels of the universe, with those natural wonders, He points us to that more personal, informative, life-saving revelation. This Bible that I'm holding in my hand, He tells us in more detail with the inspired Word how much He loves us and how well He's provided for us and the lengths that He has gone to make sure that we can be with Him forever. So that He's just sewn up our destiny for us if we will only go to His Word, read it and believe it and understand it, drink it in, and just understand that there is a God above all this wonderful creation that we observe. Now, if you look on in the 19th Psalm, if you read on the rest of that, we read verses 1 through 6. If you start in verse 7, He tells us this clearly about the written Word. He talks about the wonders of creation, but then He says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of God is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of my hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The heavens tell of God's glory. The expanse declares His workmanship. There's no place on earth where His words are not heard with these marvels, but His law is perfect. His testimony is sure. His precepts are right. His commandments are pure. His judgments are true. That can't be said of the wonders of creation, no matter how marvelous they may appear. It is even of such value, the Word of God. It's more valuable than gold. All the gold of the earth does not equal its value. It's sweeter than honey. And it says, in keeping them there is great reward. And from understanding God's Word, reading it, keeping it, you can acquire acquittal of your greatest transgressions. Specific revelation. Precise instructions. Detailed commandments. The more precious promises. As glorious as the heavens above are, as glorious as the wonders of creation are, they can't tell you what God wants you to know. As beautiful as that little spark of life is that's formed within that mama's womb, that little bit of creation, it can't tell you what God wants you to do and know in order to obtain eternal life. As enduring as the sun and the moon and the stars are, guess what? They're not going to be around forever. But you know what? God's Word is. Mark 13 and verse 31 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The Word of God will endure forever. The beauty and the power of that verbal revelation of the Lord, it never fades away. We're going to carry that right on into eternity with us. The wonders of creation, they're just beacons. They're just pointers. They're just indicators. Like a weather vane, pointing which direction the wind's blowing. They just kind of point us to the source of our salvation. James 1:21. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word implanted," which what? "Which is able to save your soul." Nothing else can do that. Just the power to save your soul in this Word. A little baby girl is beautiful, but she can't save your soul. A comet streaking across the sky is wonderful and amazing. A meteor shower is fascinating to observe, but it cannot tell you what the Word of God tells you how to be saved so you can soar above those clouds and those stars and those meteors one day and live with Him forever. We're going to talk more about that tonight. The revealed Word. You can go ahead and pick up your Bible, or your songbook rather. And we're going to sing number 49 to give you an opportunity to obey this Word this morning if you haven't done that. As wonderful as God's creation is, it doesn't tell us about Jesus, does it? We can learn from looking at clouds sitting on top of a great mountain somewhere, maybe out in the western portion of the United States. Maybe some of y'all traveled out there. Maybe some of you have gone to the Rocky Mountains or whatever the case. You can see these vistas and they can captivate the imagination. But none of those things tell you about Jesus, do they? They just tell you there is a God. Tonight we want to talk about the importance of the written Word and how God chose that medium to speak specifically to you and me, not in a general way, not as an attention getter, but how important the written Word is. And I would encourage you to come back and listen to that tonight. But if you are subject to the call of that written Word and you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, you're ready to put Jesus on in baptism, you're ready to repent of your sins, turn from those things, you're ready to make your life right with God in any way, we want to help you do that. So while we're singing this song of encouragement, you think about those things, and if we can help you, you come on up and we'll talk about those things.